understanding unto the simple. Lord, even in our simplicity, please speak to us. Grant us that your word will come to us individually. Please visit us, speak to us individually. Help us to hear you so that our walk with you will become better and better off as the days goes by in the name of Jesus. We know you will not speak over our head. We always come down to the level of everybody who cares to listen to you. So Lord, as we put our ears on the ground, please whisper to us that which will become life to us in the name of Jesus. We speak through this vessel, just a channel, but let it be a channel of blessing to us this morning. Thank you, faithful Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank the leadership of the church for giving me this space to stand here this morning to share the word of God with us again. I was asked to speak on sacrifice, the secret of impactful revival. Sacrifice, the secret of impactful revival. I'm just praying also that I will hear the Lord speak to me, because in the night when I came back from my sojourning, I was just very tired because I needed to do a training yesterday for some teachers in one of our schools out there. And, I came, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know which page of the Bible to open. So I decided to go and sleep. Maybe I'll see revelation. But indeed, when I got up in the night, I just begged God to help me. But more importantly, I prefer just being a channel. Let him flow through. So whatever he said to us, that's what he wants to speak to us. That's the lesson I'm also learning for myself. It is him that speaks his word. I want to begin by looking at sacrifice, which I know we all know. We have a background knowledge of what sacrifice is. But when I try to seek for clarity, see that sacrifice means giving up something, often for a good cause. Giving up something quite often for a good cause. And when it is a true sacrifice, and when it's done, it instills value. These values are like selflessness. You find out with a true sacrifice, selflessness, perseverance, empathy, and commitment, which are all essential for revival to take place. So it means giving up even right to yourself. That's sacrifice. You're giving up right to your own self. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, you offer yourself, isn't it? As what? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice unto God. And the Bible describes that as what? Your reasonable, what? Service. Your reasonable service. So you offer yourself. So if we are going to be looking at sacrifice, I want to quickly say that it is an offering of yourself. That's what God sees as reasonable service, reasonable sacrifice unto God. Because whatever we'll be looking at or God will be saying to us, we just, you know, be tied around yourself. Even if it will require giving up something, it is giving up yourself. It's giving up yourself. If you are not offered, you can't give anything that will be acceptable unto God. So it means giving up right to yourself and giving God the right to do with you as he pleases. You give up right to yourself and you give God the right to do with you as he pleases. That is sacrifice in the concept I want us to look at this morning. Then the second word there is impactful. That's another word. I try to also discover that impactful, that's having a forceful consequence. Something that is impactful is something that comes with a forceful consequence. Forceful, you know, consequence or a strong effect. Something that produces strong effect. That thing is impactful. If you are the one that is having impact on a life, it means you have exerted or exercised strong effect over that life. So you have impacted that life. You have caused that life to have, you know, to have a result that is the consequence of your action or, you know, your relationship with that life. Or it can also mean influencing strongly, bringing a strong influence upon something or upon a life. So genuine revival is premised or founded on genuine sacrifice. On genuine sacrifice. This is CRM. No, again, I had a flashback. The little time I have spent here, this way. I was trying to evaluate the life of our leaders, the ones I met, the ones I encountered, the ones I came, you know, close to. And I discovered that even beginning with our national leaders, our general overseer, when they tell their stories, it is nothing less than the life of sacrifice they have lived. To have piloted this ministry this way. They have sufficiently lived the life of example, a life that is exemplary, that if we actually mean what we are talking about, I mean revival, it means we have an example that is living or that are living that we can look up to. Is it not sacrifice when you have somebody sleep on the road? Not because he had no place to sleep, but because he was traveling or he's on a journey and night caught up with him. And there is no place to lay his head there. He decided to put his Bible in the filling station and just lie down there and say, Lord, you know I'm here.
And he will wake up tomorrow morning and continue his journey. Is that not sacrifice? Not knowing what will befall him. Not knowing what will happen. People like Leth Ben Enema, who went through all the villages in my place, who sojourned through every nook and cranny of Benue State, who entered everywhere, even where they say human beings should not go. He actually gained admission when this call of the ministry came. He was already running secretary for the Federation of Catholic Students, running around from there. FCS caught up with him and was running around with one old Suzuki. That's what we met him with. He was traveling everywhere until Pastor Atan came as a student and spoke his vision, and he embraced it and dropped his admission that he was supposed to go to school and decided to run with the vision of this ministry. And he went everywhere. They fought him. They insulted him. They blocked his way. There's nothing they didn't do to him. For me, that was enough sacrifice. If we are looking for sacrifice that provokes revival, it's not the kind of comfort that we seek today. We wake up from our comfort zone, speak so much tongue, and even when God is speaking to us, we tongue it away and not responding to the burden that God is bringing to our heart. Quite often, we do that. I want to quickly look at David in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Reading from verse 20 to 25. Media, what's happening today? 2 Samuel. All right. 20 to 25. Now, Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Araunah went out and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Then Araunah said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people." Now Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing implements and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All this, take note, all this, O king Araunah has given to the king." And Araunah said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." Then the king said to Araunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, with that which cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, 25. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offering and peace offering. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. Praise the Lord. We're talking about sacrifice. Sacrifice. And we said, that you are giving up something for a good cause. Something that will impact on you. Something that will affect you. If it does not take something from you, it is not a true sacrifice. If it does not cost you something, if there is no price, quietly you have paid, it is not the kind of sacrifice we are talking about this morning. We know the story. There was a plague. The people of Israel were already dying. And the king had made inquiry, and there was a need for sacrifice. There was a need for an offering to be presented to the Lord. And he rose up. The land, he needed to have a space of land to raise an altar unto the Lord, then bringing all that needed to be sacrificed unto the Lord. Let the smoke rise up to heaven so that God can respond with mercy over the land and withdraw the plague that was already consuming the people. And he approached one of the subjects, Aaron, who had a piece of land. And you know, the man gladly, willfully wanted to offer. I say, please take it. This is for the good of all of us. Don't pay anything. Just take it. If I'm not only the land, I have sheep and oxen, everything you need. Just tell me, what do you need for this sacrifice? I have them ready. Take everything. O king, may the Lord accept your sacrifice so that we can be free. And the king said, no. It is the Lord I'm going to make this sacrifice to. I have so much value for God that I don't want to give him what does not cost me anything. He's not looking for a free gift, so to say. Something that I take casually, something that, you know, is out of nothing, maybe left over. That's not what he's looking for. I want to give him the sacrifice that actually impact even pain on me. I want to be sure that something had left me, something had gone out of me. I'm sure the man will be embarrassed, you know, disappointed that he offered the king, and the king said no. He said no to his offering, you know. But I'm looking at a man who has so valued God to the extent that, look, I want to give God my best. I want to offer to God. I want to give to God something that I will know that I have given God something. Something that left me. That this thing left, it has created a vacuum somewhere. I know that there is a space created because I offered something to God. You know, quite often, the sacrifice we make to us human beings, they may be looking so bogus, we are clapping hands, raising ovation, and all of that. But the question is, from where are you bringing this? What is the mush that is left behind? That's what heaven considers. What has it pained you? What pain has this created in your own life? That's what makes it sacrifice. When you meet beggars on the road, you can quickly pull out your purse, give 200 naira. You will never remember that day again that you gave 200 naira, isn't it? Because that 200 naira is not, it doesn't cost you anything much. You don't feel you have removed anything, but you have so much left behind that you are not affected by what you have given. If we are going to be making sacrifices, now I'll be talking to us the dimension of sacrifices that is required to impact, to provoke revival, to provoke change, even your own personal revival, the revival of your own life, the revival of the church, the revival of the land. We have heard so much about revival, but somebody must pay for it. It must cost somebody something. It must take something from you that you will know that you have offered something unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, if we are talking about sacrifice, now you bring Jesus himself. You know, you will actually bring the picture, the image of Christ himself to bear, isn't it? Who have made the greatest sacrifice, who have offered himself, as it were. We all know. We are seated here today because somebody gave his own life in your stead. Somebody offered himself. You are saying you are a child of God today, not because of what you have done or what you did not do. It's because first of what Jesus has done. He gave his life. He gave his life to buy us back from the dominion of Satan, from the dominion, captivity, and the tyranny of sin. He brought us back to himself. Of course, to God. That's how we became children of God today. And we boldly say it everywhere. I am a child of God. Jesus offered himself. So I'll be speaking so much about that, so that you will know that if you are going to be experiencing revival, if you are going to be impacting lives, just as our leaders, you know, the people who have trodden this path before us, who have gone ahead of us, imparted lives that have imparted us, and today, the mercy of God is helping us. If what we are going to be doing will be genuine and impactful, let's check the price. Let's check the price that we need to pay. This idea of, you know, just being casual about God and everything that has to do with God, you discover the kind of seriousness you give to your personal business, you give to even your own family, you give to, you know, the things around your job, and those your personal effect, you know, the kind of seriousness, you know, you don't give God such. Check it. We're talking about sacrifice. Check it. You wake up on Sunday morning because it's not your work day. It's not your business day. You decide to just be at home today. Coming to church, getting up become a difficult thing. So you come to church very casual because it's not office you are going. It's not your business place you are going. You can afford to come anytime. You know, and all of that. The fear of God, you know, the consciousness that I'm appearing before God, the King of all the earth, the one who has given me life that I'm carrying, who has even woken me up this morning. It was not alarm that woke me up. If not dead body, for they wake up, isn't it? Just carry alarm, put near them, and the alarm will sound, and they will wake up. So it is not alarm. It was the mercy of God. That consciousness is not there. It's not there. Jesus gave his own life. For what? For a reckless sinner like me? Or someone that is nothing, nothing? Who does not merit that kind of sacrifice? That kind of offering. Why should we look my way? Why should I be considered? It was a sacrifice. I kept noting personally for myself that it was a sacrifice that paid for me. So sometimes then people say, you know they rest, you know they do this. Me, I want to rest, sir. But I discovered the debt on my head that I needed to pay. And every day I'm crying. When will I finish paying my debt? I don't want to die like that man, you know, that the Bible, you know, spoke about who was a servant of God, of course, and served God. But he died a debtor and the creditor now showed up to carry the family, carry the child and everything away. If the man of God had not shown up, I'm afraid, what could have happened? So I felt that I came into a privilege under God to have experienced a life, you know, that I needed to express. Some of us are products of revival. And we talk about it anytime, anywhere. We are given a platform. But what am I doing to also express that will impact on the life of others? That's the issue this morning. Jesus laid down his life. Please help me check John chapter 15. John in chapter 15 from verse 12 to 17. Very quickly, John, thank you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I wish you have experienced the love of Christ, how he has loved you. I wish you understand how he has loved you like this. Greater love has no one than this. That's the kind of love than to lay down one's life for his friends. We're talking about sacrifice. Laying your own life down. Giving up your right because of others, to impact the life of others. That's the dimension I want to look at. Loving the way Jesus loved you. How did he love us? The Bible says, while we were yet sinners. The people you loved, are they not the people in your own small imagination who are right? The people you could make genuine sacrifice for, are they not people that you think have done you well? Now, what did you do right? What did you do well that made Jesus to lay down his life for you? He said, the kind of love he is requesting from us is the kind he showed us. That when we were nobody, he came for us. When even God, the entire heaven, was angry with mankind, he decided to leave his exalted position in heaven to show up on the earth for the redemption of mankind. That kind of love. That's the greatest sacrifice that we see in Jesus. He laid down his life, his right, his privileges. He humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross to make his enemies, people like me, his enemies, his friends. That was the love. That was the sacrifice. And he said, it is that kind of love, that kind of sacrifice, that he's asking from us. So sacrifices, genuine sacrifices that impact lives, that produces revival, is such a sacrifice that is born out of love. Even when you are giving something to God, and it's not first because you loved him. I hope you are not wasting what you are offering. I hope you are not throwing it away. Everything you give to God, even the gift of your own life, should be born out of love for him. Lord, I love you. I'm giving this. I'm offering this. I give my life to you because I love you. I don't know why you love me so, but in response to the love you have shown me, I'm offering myself. Now, when you do that correctly, that's why you will be running after God, the things of God, the service of God, all because you love him. You are giving to the work of God, not under compulsion, because you do it because you love him. You are not being psyched. You are not waiting for somebody to psych you, you know, and they do this. And before you respond to God, you are doing it because you are prompted by love. You're making sacrifice. While you are going to give your time, making sacrifice of your time, is because you love him. No, most of the time we wait for convenient time. When we are free, when there is nothing to do, is the leftover of your time you want to give to God. That's not sacrifice. That's not sacrifice. When you place God's will with your own will and you decide to respond to God's will, what is the will of God for this time? Is to go for evangelism. And you are shutting down the visit to your friends. You are giving up your watching of television. You are giving up your pressing of phone. And you say, it is time to go and visit the brethren, to go and, you know, share the word of God with this, my neighbor, or whoever that the Holy Spirit is ministering to your heart. That is love for God. That you are responding. That is sacrifice. It is sacrifice because you ordinarily want to be doing something else. There is something very serious you want to be doing, but God is insisting that this is what you should do now. So you are fruitless as a Christian because you are not ready to make sacrifice. Is that not why you are fruitless? There is no fruit. Your life is not producing. You are not giving birth to other Christians. You are not responsible over any life because you are not ready to make sacrifice. It must cost you something. It cost Jesus his own life. And for me, like 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21, please quickly give me 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. He showed us an example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 24. For to this you were called. To this you were called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was the deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. He did not threaten anybody. When he suffered, he did not threaten. but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Verse 24 now. Who himself bore our sins, not his own sin, in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I know you like that last, is it phrase or sentence? You were healed. By his stripes, you were healed. That scripture is not an end to itself. It started from somewhere. There was a sacrifice. And the Bible said he suffered for us all. He left us with an example. He left us. So if you want to know how to make sacrifices that will appeal to heaven and bring about revival in the lives of men, Jesus left us with an example. Of course, he is God's sample son. He is God's example projected for us. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God introduced him, raised him as an example, as a sample son for us. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible said, we are called for this so we can conform, we can bend to his image, the image of his son, the image of his likeness. That is where we have been brought to. So if we are needing, how do we make sacrifice that will impact on lives, that will bring revival? Jesus is our example. He went everywhere. The Bible says he went doing good, isn't it? Anywhere he went, he was doing good. Is that your testimony? Is that your testimony? What are you known for? What sacrifice are you making? No greedy man can make sacrifice. No greedy man. No greedy and self-centered Christian can make an impactful sacrifice or live an impactful life. You cannot impact anybody. You can't affect anybody positively. If life is about yourself, yourself, yourself alone. Everything you think about when you wake up in the morning is yourself. Everything is yourself. The interest of every other person around you is of no consequence. It's yourself. It must be all about you. You cannot change anything. It's not people like you God is looking for. Actually, if you are there, you will become a misfit. Eh? You will become a misfit. You are not fitting. You cannot fit into revival pursuit. You cannot. Because the people we see around, they are laborers. So revival, after all, is a labor, is a work. People labored. People suffered. People prayed. They sacrificed their time to fast, to pray. Jesus is our example. How do you express your love to the brethren? Consider yourself first. You know, I saw one of our GOs a message online within the week. And he said, when the Bible says you love your neighbor as yourself, saying he has not seen any Christian that practices that scripture. He said, including himself. And he was trying to explain what he actually meant. Ask yourself. And we can only find that in the example of what Jesus has done, you know, for us. So that you need to know that true sacrifice is prompted by love. By love. I love you. That's why I'm leaving my convenience to check on you. To check on you. Check on your spiritual well-being. Find out how you are doing. Without charge, without a cost. I'm not charging you. The Lord must help us in Jesus' name. What can you sacrifice for revival to take place? I'm already mentioning them that your time is key. Your time. Your time. Your time. I hear you pray in the night. You wake up to pray in the night and you're even giving testimony. What are your prayer content? You know, we have been talking about prayer here and we're talking about the content of prayer. What are you praying about? Is it not to have more of the greedy thing that you are grabbing for yourself? Is it kingdom praying that stood you up in the night? You say, oh Lord, let your kingdom come. Let revival come. Let it happen here in our eyes before us. Let something happen in this church. Oh, this brother, visit him. Help this man. Help this sister. Was that woke you up in the that woke you up in the night? You are just standing in the place of prayer. Or it is that thing. You are holding God's trousers. That if God refuses to do it, means he ceases to be God. Sacrifice your convenience, you give it. Even your possessions. Even your possessions. The sacrifice of your own life. I was thinking about Pastor Julian yesterday. And I you know, sometimes I'll just sit down and many things flash my mind. And I was reminding myself the sacrifice of that man. Where we have traveled in Niger State. The community that if you ask me to go there today, I will not remember the road again. And we will drive through all kinds of hurdles. In a lonely environment. And just about four of us, we will go and stage crusade. And we are spending the weekend there with the villagers. All kind of things. If you see him, he doesn't look like it. When he got his professorial stuff and we are Gwagwalada, and he said we should go to his hotel and go and pray with him. It was a very funny man. See, this is PhD, poverty hands down. See, poverty don't hands down. it was on a very joking note. But when we sat down to discuss and we're asking, so what change will this make in the pursuit of God that you have embarked on over time? And he was telling us many things. And he's still on sacrifice. Nobody is fueling your car for you. Nobody is buying food for you. Remember, sometimes we leave a place. It's around 6 a.m. We will now park on the road to bring water out of the car to brush ourselves. Let nobody stop us on the road. Our mouth is smelling. So we'll now be brushing on the road and be doing all of that. And none of us could drive. He's the one driving us through every thick and thin. Sometimes we just pity him. Sacrifice your convenience, your time. He was already a director with where he worked before. Serial Research Institute. These are men. Even at our own level, you can do your own part. Do you understand? When they say come and pray, whatever you left to come and pray, is that not sacrifice? That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. When they say go and visit this person, it's not in church today. Please go and you are thinking how you go home and sleep. Say you need to rest. And you are not doing it. You are not making sacrifice. You heard of a sister who is not feeling fine and nothing crossed your mind. You are not making sacrifice. You only love yourself. And you love your convenience. Is that to be a Christian? Is that what Jesus died for? We need to just wake up and do our part If we are practicing faith, faith that only collect is alien to this new covenant. Faith that is only grabbing. Give me, give me, give me. I was reminded this morning of Hebrews chapter 11. I couldn't read that scripture, but I actually know that those men in that hall of fame who practice faith, do you know that all the things they did were done by faith, including giving? So faith is not only collecting, including giving. All the sacrifice they made, the Bible said it was by faith. By faith, this person did this. By faith, go and read that scripture so that you know the context, the biblical context of faith is not only when you collect. I'm looking forward for a day when we will stand here to give testimonies of the faith that we express that brought life to God. And that person is sitting down here. And they thank God. I prayed. I believed God. And thank God for this brother. God gave him to me. That is faith. And such faith will require sacrifice. I want to round up. They say I should round up now. Praise the Lord. So the faith acceptable to God is the one expressed in love. The faith expressed in love and is spread all over the scriptures. I will finally read this as we pray. 1 John chapter 3. It was 1 John 4 that sang 1 John 4, 7 and 8. You know the song. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loveth is born of God. Know ye not that he that loveth not, know not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. If you don't love, the Bible says you don't know God. Stop pretending. Even if you are speaking in tongue. Is it 1 or 2 Corinthians chapter 12? That said, if I have given my body to be burnt, I have given this, and I do not love. And I'm asking, how will somebody do all of this? And yet, it did not. It means there is something more that God is asking for. We need to find out. How will I have burned myself because of you? And God is saying, you don't love. Yes. Beloved. This is not the scripture I asked you to give me. 1 John 3. From verse 11. I will close with that. Sacrifice. The life of a child of God is the life of sacrifice. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Yes. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Under whatever guise, whatever reason, you have to explain that you are a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods, that's where I'm going, and sees his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? How? My little children, let us not love in word
or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We talk too much. We talk too much. Let's love not just in word, in works, in truth, in deed. Give me the next verse. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. That is the kind of love, the kind of sacrifice that is required of us. If we are going to see revival, I was speaking somewhere within the world, I told them, some people came to join our fellowship because they saw the way we are relating, the way we were doing around ourselves. Edwin, bro, Linus know that family, bro, Edwin and his family. They came to CRM because they saw every time. These people are always following. What is their secret? Can't they quarrel? Are they not fight? What is it that is making them to be binding like this? And he came close and became born again with his family. They are part, they are elders in CRM today. Many people came around because they saw. Brother will come to my house. He is going to somewhere. He remove his shirt and hang there and carry my own. And I was telling some people who said within there, I said, that was the discipleship. Nobody called it discipleship. It was when I started reading Bible. I now knew that that was discipleship. The Bible said they shared all, they had all things in common. Nobody lacked among them. Nobody. Even those who don't have, they have because you have, I have. I sleep anywhere in any brother's house, not being afraid of anything. I'm going out with a shoe that I felt I should wear to where I'm going. These brothers are here today. I can call names. They are still leaders in CRM. The love of God. You will like to pray. Say, brother, let me pray for you. No, the Lord be with you. The Lord answer your heart desires in Jesus' name. The answer is in your pocket, sir. It's where? Sacrifice that provokes revival, that impacts life, that turns sinners into saints. You love things. You possess things. You don't possess God. If you possess God, you will lose your possession. The moment you possess God, you will lose your own possession. But you love things. You can't make sacrifice. I want us to pray this morning. I don't know if you heard anything that touched you in any way. Don't know where God spoke to you this morning, but you can touch lives. You can impact lives. You can become a channel through which people will be in heaven. And on that day, if there is an opportunity to give testimony there, somebody will say, oh, I'm grateful. It's because of Pastor Dom that I came to heaven, because he came my way. He met me when I was stranded. He touched my life when I was almost giving up, almost packing out of faith. His words of encouragement were actually what gave strength to my feet to be able to run the race to the end. Oh, thank God for this sister. When there was nobody around, she was the one who came to my rescue. My faith would have finished, but it was her encouragement. It was her that made me come this way. Pray for yourself that you will do your part. You will do your part. That's why I said I have debt to pay. So I must keep running. As many that I'll be able to reach. I have debt to pay. I don't know about you. Pray to God this one. Say, Lord, you will help me. Why are you alive? To cumber the ground? To occupy space? To waste God's resources? Why are you here? To keep pounding the word of God? Keep gathering the word of God or Bible knowledge? Why is your life not resulting to anything that will bring honor to God? Why are you not being a blessing to the church, to the brethren? Why are you not being a source of encouragement to the body? You keep numbering people's offense. You have records where you keep, you know, what people do to you, what they do to you, your anger. You are too sensitive to what people do. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? Your record of 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you never forgive people. Pray for yourself this morning and say, Lord, people labored for me to come this way. I must play my own part. People made sacrifices. The pastor used to tell us how they crossed rivers, how they crossed ocean, how they did this, how they did that. You, what have you done? What are you doing? You want to close the chapter with your own life? God forbid. What is flowing out of you? Who is being blessed by the grace of God that is upon your life? There's no love. There's no love. Who have you loved? What sacrifice have you made? Pray for yourself this month. Say, Lord, please help me. Give me grace to run well. I fear God's judgment. The Bible says that we'll be able to stand faultless before the throne. I'm afraid. Said I will not be afraid on the day of his judgment, on the day of his coming. May I fear. Lord, help me. Help every one of us. I know this body is seeking so many convenience and so many things. You will give strength to our body. You will heal our diseases so that we can play our part, so that we can pay our debt to our generation. Deliver us from unnecessary convenience, unnecessary rest. It's a man who has worked that need rest. We have not done anything and we are seeking rest. Lord, please deliver us. Show us mercy. Give us large hearts. Help us to look at Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 2, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross. Gave up the shame. He endured the cross. Lord, help us to follow your example. Thank you, faithful Father. Lord, show us mercy this morning. Keep bringing this on our hearts. That this week we will rise up. We will come back with testimonies. When we appear before you next week. That I was able to strike something. I was able to make use of my own life. My time to benefit the kingdom. I prayed. I fasted. I gave my possessions. I've been delivered from possessing something. Unto possessing God. Let it be our testimony. Faithful Father.
Can we speak to